Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28, again. We studied it yesterday, but we're going to study it again. That's Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28, which says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." And when we started the broadcast yesterday, I mentioned to you that this ancient landmark had to deal with land, as you might suspect, since it says landmark. And the command was found in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 14, "Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it." All right, so that thing has to do with, like we said yesterday, the same thing as a survey rod that marks out a particular tract of land, so that it can be identified by the title company or by a surveyor and associated with a title, so that you know the registered owner of the land. All right? Now, when the Bible says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set," and it shows up here in Proverbs and it shows up in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 14, that's because God has granted to certain countries certain parcels of land, and those parcels of land are theirs. Now, in Numbers chapter 34, we won't read the whole thing, but we'll read enough of it to know what's going on here. In Numbers chapter 34, God identifies a parcel of land by some landmarks. This parcel of land was known as the land of Canaan, and it was given to Israel as an inheritance. Numbers chapter 34, verse 1. "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall unto you for an inheritance, even the land of Canaan with the coasts thereof." Now begins to describe the land. "Your south quarter shall be from the wilderness of Zin along by the coast of Edom. And your south border shall be the outmost coast of the Salt Sea eastward." Well, we know the Salt Sea. That's the Dead Sea. And that's the eastern border, the southeastern border of the inheritance of Israel. "And your border shall turn from the south to the ascent of Akrabim and pass on to Zin. And the going forth thereof shall be from the south to Kadesh Barnea, and shall go on to Hazar Adar, and pass on to Asmon. And the border shall fetch a compass from Asmon unto the river of Egypt." All right, so we got that one identified, the Nile River. "And the goings out of it shall be at the sea. As for the western border, you shall even have the great sea for a border," Mediterranean Sea. "This shall be your west border, and this shall be your north border from the great sea." That'll be the Mediterranean. "You shall point out for you Mount Hor. From Mount Hor you shall point out your border unto the entrance of Hamath, and the goings forth of the border shall be to Zedad." And you can keep reading. And eventually it comes out in verse 11 at the Sea of Chinnereth, which is the Sea of Galilee, and then heads back down the Jordan River in verse 13 to the Salt Sea. So that is the description of the land of Canaan, and that is the inheritance for Israel. Then in verse 13, he goes on to add to this inheritance the land which is owned by Gad, Reuben, and the half-tribe of Manasseh on the eastern side of the Jordan River. Moses commanded in verse 13 the children of Israel, saying, "This is the land which ye shall inherit by lot, which the Lord commanded to give unto the nine tribes and to the half-tribe. For the tribe of the children of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, and the tribe of the children of Gad, according to the house of their fathers, have received their inheritance, and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance. The two tribes and the half tribe have received their inheritance on this side Jordan, which would be the eastern side, near Jericho, eastward toward the sun rising. All right? Now notice, that's the land that was given to them when they went into the land of Canaan. All right, now we're going to jump ahead to a time that's still yet in the future, to a time that follows the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and goes into his 1,000-year reign on earth. And you know what you find out? In Ezekiel chapter 47, beginning with verse 13, this same land that was given to them when they entered the land of Canaan after their wilderness journey following the exodus from Egypt is the same land as they had then. The land in the millennium is the same land as they had back then. Ezekiel 47, verse 13. Thus saith the Lord God, this shall be the border, whereby ye shall inherit the land, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have two portions. Ye shall inherit one as well as the other, concerning the which I lifted up mine hand to give it unto your fathers, and this land shall fall unto you for an inheritance. This shall be the border of the land toward the north side, from the great sea, that's going to be the Mediterranean Sea, the way of Hethlon, as men go to Zedad, Hamath, Berotha, Sibraim, which is between the border of Damascus and the border of Hamath, Hazer Hatikon, which is by the coast of Horan, and the border from the sea shall be Hazer Enon, the border of Damascus, and the border northward, and the border of Hamath, and this is the north side. The east side ye shall measure from Haran, and from Damascus, and from Gilead, and from the land of Israel, by Jordan, from the border unto the east sea. This is the east side. The south side southward, from Tamar, even unto the waters of strife at Kadesh. The river, the great sea. This is the south side southward. The west side shall be the great sea, from the border till a man come over against Hamath. This is the west side. That's the same land. He gives you a couple of names of other cities, but it's the same land. It's the Jordan River, south to the Dead Sea, across to the River of Egypt, up the Mediterranean Sea coast, till you can spot Mount Hor at Hamath, and across over to Damascus, and back down the Sea of Galilee, and down the Jordan River. It's the same land. And it is land that will be inherited by the Jews during the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, as you can see from the context. And we didn't read all of the context. But you know the context. If you read verse 12, we started with verse 13. Verse 12 is the tree of life blooming 12 manner of fruit, like you see in the book of Revelation when Jesus Christ is here on the earth. Now, ultimately, the Jews will not only have the land of Canaan, which is currently Israel and the land of Palestine, but it'll also have the eastern side of the Jordan River, like was given to them when they first inherited the land. That's going to be part of Jordan. And it will go eventually all the way to the Euphrates River. That's the ultimate inheritance granted to Abraham by God through Isaac, his seed. And that's found in Genesis chapter 15, verse 18, and confirmed in Psalm 105, verses 8 to 12, that it concerns Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes of Israel, not Abraham and Ishmael and Esau. That side didn't get this. Genesis 15, 18, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt, unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaims, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. So, ultimately, it goes beyond the land of Canaan into what's now Jordan, some of Lebanon, some of Iraq, and some of Saudi Arabia. That's the ultimate inheritance. Now, notice that God, though you just said, it says, do not remove the ancient landmark, okay? Remove not the ancient landmark, which thy fathers have set, okay? Now notice, God not only spoke concerning inheritance for Israel, but he also spoke in the Bible concerning inheritance for the Edomites, the Moabites, and the Ammonites. The Edomites come from Esau. The Moabites and the Ammonites come from Lot. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 5, as the Jews are making their journey now up through the king's highway, or toward the king's highway, to go in across the Jordan River into the land of Canaan, the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 5, meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as a footbreadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. So there it is. That's a possession God granted to the children of Edom, and it's concerns land that is south of the Dead Sea, Mount Seir. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 9. The Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. All right, that's going to be land to the southwest of the Dead Sea. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 19. And when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession. That's going to be east of the Dead Sea. So all of that land is guaranteed to go to the Edomites, the Moabites, and the Ammonites, and the Jews will not and are not supposed to have inheritance in that land. All right, then look at Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 24. In addition to the land of Canaan that was granted in Numbers chapter 34, look what the Lord says here. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24, when they're getting ready to attack Sihon, the king of the Amorites, the Bible says, rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given you into thine hand Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. That's going to be east of the Jordan River. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 37. Well, let's look ahead at Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 2, and then we'll go back to Deuteronomy 2, 37. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 2, the Lord said unto me, fear him not, the reference is to Og, king of Bashan, fear him not, for I will deliver him and all his people and his land into thy hand. Go thou, and thou shalt do unto him as thou didst unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon. So the Lord gave the children of Israel the land of Og, king of Bashan, and the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites. Both of those possessions are east of the Jordan River. Og's land in Bashan is going to be north, and Sihon, king of the Amorites' land of Heshbon, is going to be south. But both of these are east of the Jordan River, up through the Sea of Galilee. All that was given by God to them, because he didn't guarantee that possession to Sihon and to Og and to their descendants. Now look at verse 37 in Deuteronomy chapter 2. Notice, God only gave them that much. Only unto the land of the children of Ammon thou camest not, nor unto any place of the river Jabbok, nor unto the cities of the mountains, nor unto whatsoever the Lord our God forbade us. You see it? So God has landmarks, land boundaries. And our text in our study today of Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28 says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. There are boundaries that are set there, and those boundaries are not to be removed, and those boundaries are honored by God, and those boundaries are set by God in the case of Edom, Ammon, Moab, and Israel. And he says, I don't want Israel in Edom's land. I want Israel in the land of Canaan, in the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and in the land of Og, king of Bashan. That's where I want you to start, and eventually I want you to keep going east until you get to the Euphrates River. Those are boundaries, and they're not to be removed. You see, when you read the Bible, if you read it carefully and pay attention to every word, you immediately understand something about God. God is not a unifier. God is a divider. You say, well, he wants unity in the body of Christ. Absolutely, because the body of Christ is one with him. But he wants the body of Christ divided from and separated from the world. He says, wherefore come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You see, God is a divider. He wants the body of Christ unified, okay, along the lines of the unity of the Spirit, not unified along lines of the world and along lines of unity in doctrine, okay? But he doesn't want the body of Christ intermingled with the world. Whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God, the Bible says. God's a divider. He divided the light from the darkness. The light he called day and the darkness he called night. God divided the waters above the firmament from the waters that were below the firmament, and the firmament he called heaven. And the waters were gathered together unto one place. They were called seas, and the dry land appeared, and it was called earth. You see, God is a divider. In Genesis chapter 10, God divided the nations. He sent Japheth northwest up into Europe, Shem east into Asia, and Ham south into Africa, and divided to the Gentiles their nations. In Genesis chapter 11, Nimrod led the people in Babel to make the Tower of Babel, and God came down there and he said, well, their language is one. And now nothing will be restrained to them of all they imagine to do. And so the Lord decided he needed to break this party up because they were going to do something that he didn't want them to do, trying to get to heaven without him. And so God broke it up by dividing them, and he did that by giving each of them different languages. And that's how he scattered them. So God is a divider. He said, I don't want an ox and an ass plowing together. I don't want you wearing a woolen and a linen garment. That's the nature of God. And God established boundaries in the earth. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8, it says this very clearly. Verse 7 for the context. Deuteronomy 32, 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. So God has a boundary. God has divided to the nations their inheritance. He separated the sons of Adam. Esau was separated from Jacob. Ishmael was separated from Isaac. God's a divider, see? And he set these boundaries according to the number of the children of Israel. That's very important to understand that. So all these attempts right now by the world to bring men together and to break down borders like a European Union, or like an attempt to somehow get into an agreement of trade and transportation of goods and people from Canada and the United States of America and Mexico in sort of a union, would be something that would be contrary to the way that God set up the nations. All right, now look in Acts chapter 17 and notice that that's not, that what we just read is not just an Old Testament doctrine. This doctrine of the separation and division of the nations continues on into the New Testament. Some people got the idea that now that we've gone through Calvary, God would look the other way and it's now the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. That's a false doctrine. We mentioned that false doctrine in our most recent question of the week up on the website when we talked about whether or not the Masons, the Masonics, are for Christians. And you'll see if you check that website out and look at the answer to that question, you'll see that no, Christians ought not to be Masons by any stretch of the imagination. No way. fatherhood of God, brotherhood of man is a doctrine of the devil, not a doctrine of God. All right, now look in Acts chapter 17 and look at verse 26 and 27. This is what God did. Hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. Why? That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. You see that right there? We have one blood. I can take the blood of any man as long as it matches my type, no matter what his nationality is, and my nationality won't change because we're of a common blood. However, he did do something differently. He did determine the times before appointed, and he also determined the bounds of their habitation. The times before appointed would be like Romans chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, which says, all Israel shall be saved, and the time is when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. All right, that'll take you up through the tribulation. Bang, the Lord comes back, the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, bang, Israel gets saved. The Jews, Israel, they were let go out of Egypt after 400 years from the time that God spoke to Abram about this matter, because the fullness of the Amorites was not, or it was not yet full. I said that wrong. I think it was the time of the Amorites was not yet full. In other words, God had 400 more years that he wanted the Amorites to continue on with what they were doing, and then God was going to change that so that the Jews would leave. He says, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full, and 400 years of that. So those times are appointed, and the bounds of their habitation are set. And the purpose is that they might seek the Lord. In other words, as you destroy the boundaries and try to get everybody on a common ground, people quit seeking the Lord. Take a look in this country. Right now, it's not right in many venues to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For fear that you will offend somebody of another religion, like a Muslim. Once we broke down that boundary, now it was no longer, let's say there are 98% of the people in this particular group that wouldn't mind you praying in the name of Jesus Christ, and 2% who would be offended by it. Now all of a sudden you can't, for the sake of that 2%, pray in the name of Jesus Christ without offending them. Well, you didn't have that problem before. But now that the boundary's gone, you do. So what? Now we don't seek after the Lord. You see that the country has gone into more apostasy the more we have become globalized. Well, who's behind that then? Because we know the boundaries have been removed. Well, according to Isaiah chapter 10, verses 5, 13, and 14, the person behind that is the devil. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5, he's called the Assyrian because that's who he's working through at that time. But he's the rod of God's anger, the staff in their hand in my indignation. And in verse 13, here's what he does. By the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent. And I have removed the bounds of the people. You see that? I have removed the bounds of the people. Now, the Assyrians actually did that to the Jews that were in Samaria. They took the Samaritans back over to Assyria and then brought in people from Assyria into Samaria and then interbred the Jews there. And that's why the Jews wouldn't have anything to do with the Samaritans. I have removed the bounds of the people and have robbed their treasures. And I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. The more the United States of America has become globalized, the more that our treasury has been robbed. When all this started, we had about $500 billion in debt. And today, we have $8.7 trillion in debt. And the interest on that debt in about 2.5 days equals what we owed in total, 45, 50 years ago. The more globalized, the more our treasures have been robbed. Those things are absolute because they're biblical. God said, remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set, and that's what we've done. The result is that God will have to come back, like he did in the days of the Tower of Babel, to scatter and divide the men according to the bounds of their habitation. And when he does that, that's going to be a very vicious and bloody affair, Armageddon. And when God does that, you know what's going to happen? Israel will get the land back. If you look at a map of Israel right now, the Golan Heights, that's Israel's. Gaza, that belongs to Israel, according to the descriptions that we read in the Bible. The West Bank, which consumes the central part of Israel and goes all the way from the Jordan River, almost all the way to the Mediterranean Sea, that whole big section that's taken out of Israel there, that belongs to Israel, not to a group called Palestinians. Any attempt to negotiate with land for peace is, number one, against God. Number two, destined for failure. And number three, a precursor to war. It's unavoidable. It's unavoidable. If you believe what you've heard today, and if you would go and study the Bible for yourself today to see if what you heard today is absolutely so, then you know what you're finding out? Every attempt to make large unions of nations is an attempt by Antichrist, by the devil working through men, to prepare this world to try to do things without God. That necessitates or results in the robbery of the treasures, and it necessitates the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to scatter those nations and return them to their habitations, because they get further and further and further away from the true God the more they unify. And everything concerning Israel that is contrary to the land granted to them by God Almighty is absolutely not going to work. It is not a roadmap for peace. It is a roadmap for failure. It is a roadmap for war, and it is a roadmap to set yourself up as an enemy of God. It won't work. It can't work. And you see it because it's in the Bible, not in a man's imagination. Our text in Proverbs 22:28 says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." Those landmarks have been removed, and God's going to come, and he's going to put them right back like he had them before. And you can count on it. He already showed it to you.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.